That's part of the call on this church. I share the vision from time to time. That's part of the call, is we are to be a living, breathing New Testament church model. I mean, we're not here trying to create another religion. We're trying to be a New Testament church. Because that's what God called us to be. And you know, and Jesus did the stuff, and the apostles did the stuff, and the disciples did the stuff, and we're doing the stuff.
There you go.
Amen. The stuff don't stop until we're with Him in glory.
Amen.
Amen. So we've been looking at prayer for the last two weeks. Today is the third part of the series on prayer. Each message is a standalone message, but all of them do connect. So if this is your first service, you're good. Okay, you're good. This message will stand on its own feet.
Yes.
But, you know, if we started with the heart of prayer, what is the heart behind your prayer relationship with Jesus? And what should that look like? Last week, the title was Never Give Up, Never Surrender. Which, actually, that message was to encourage us to never stop pursuing God's best for our lives or for those around us. And to never surrender to anything less than that. Yeah, and I don't have this on the PowerPoint, but there's a statement that I make from time to time. Do you know, whatever you will tolerate will be exactly what your life is built around.
Say that again.
Whatever you will tolerate will be exactly what your life is built around. So if you tolerate and say this is just the way it's always going to be. If you settle right in that place, guess what? You'll start building your life around less than God's best.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't want to do that. It's going to require some pushing and probably some pain and some discomfort, but I'm going to tell you, it's worth it.
Yes.
You keep after Jesus. You get His best for you and your family and your friends. I mean, all this is flesh. We're going to leave it behind anyway. Might as well start leaving it now.
Okay. Very good.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now I'll get into the message. So this week we're going to be looking at life-giving prayer. Life-giving prayer. So this will be part three in the series, but it's life-giving prayer. You know, there are several types of prayer taught in the Bible. And even when we started this series, I shared that we're not going to touch on all the biblical types of prayer. There are several, and there are even, I believe, types of prayer that aren't specifically listed in the Bible. Because I know I've done things that, you know, in prayer that I was like, well, that doesn't exactly fit in this description or that description. But boy, it was good, and Jesus was there, and it was nice.
Yeah.
So, but there are a lot of different types of prayer in the Bible. But see, normally our prayer time isn't just one type of prayer for me. Normally, there'll be several different types, quote, of prayer that are mingled together into this. They're woven in this beautiful tapestry, this beautiful interaction, this beautiful moment with Jesus. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, normally when you're praying, you'll jump from thanksgiving to adoration, maybe the prayer of faith. You know, maybe you're sitting there praying for healing.
Yeah.
You know, you can just float into all that. And that's relationship.
Yes.
You know, every time me and Cheryl visit and talk, we don't get together and say, how's that cup? Look same as it did a few minutes ago, but let's talk about it. Hey, keep it working, find it tomorrow morning, because I don't talk about the cup. Prayer's not like that, church. I mean, we don't show up on the same day. Okay, I know we've talked about this 4,372 times because I documented it. But we're here again, Jesus. No, it's a living, breathing, amazing, relational beauty. I mean, you can just go on and on with the description of what a good prayer life is. It's amazing. It's wonderful. There's life there. But I did want to say once again, there's this flowing. So even though I'm touching on specific things, I'm just kind of compartmentalizing a little bit so you can see these individual things. But realize that, you know, our prayer lives are bigger than that. And there are all of these things and more. Okay? But today's message has three sections. First, we're going to look at the importance of the content of our prayers. And you may think, wait a minute, is this a prayer list? No, I'm not giving you a prayer list today. What I am is I'm just giving you some healthy guidelines that you can apply in your own prayer time. So that's what I'm talking about, content. And so regarding content, really, we're going to look at the importance of the content of our prayers, the importance of the content for whomever we're praying for, person or persons, also the importance of the content for ourselves. You know, when you're praying for other people, how you pray and what you pray doesn't just affect them.
Yeah.
It affects us. So the content's really important. So we're going to start there, and then we're going to look at two other types of prayer, so to speak. Okay, so this Philippians 4:8 says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things. Center your mind on them. I love this note. And implant them in your heart. Because remember where we started this series? Prayer is not just a head issue, it's a heart issue.
Yeah.
And it's telling you right here, believers, make all of these things top priority. Keep your mind focused when it says take every thought captive. Everything that doesn't fit into this, you're supposed to take captive and bring it to obedience of Jesus. Okay? But these other things here, implant them in your heart. And the reason we start, you think, well, wow, we're starting with the heart again. You know, the heart is really a big deal. The core of our being is a big deal. It affects everything that comes out of us starts in here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we're starting here. And the reason we're starting here is because the good person out of the good treasure of his heart or her heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, their mouth speaks. So guess what? What's in here is going to come out when you pray. That's what we're talking about. So we're going to look at several verses and talk a little more. And then once again, we're talking about content here. Content of our prayer life. So here we go. We're going to look at several verses here. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. And that's included in prayer time. Okay? Let me stop one second. Do you know every scripture that talks about our talk, our speech, applies to prayer? Have you ever thought about that? Yeah. And if the Bible says, use your mouth this way, but don't use it that way, that applies to prophecy, it applies to prayer, it applies to conversation, it applies to interaction, it applies to talking to your kids, it applies to talking with your wife, it applies to talking with your friends, it applies when you go to the grocery store, it applies on your job. Okay? Every verse that talks about the use of the mouth applies when you open it and speak.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've talked a lot on that in prophecy over the years, as I've taught seminars and things on prophecy. That's a big deal. Because people, when they feel like they've heard from God, man, they'll just go and say all kind of stuff. And like, well, no. That's why the Bible says, the wisdom from God is first pure. What comes from Him is pure. Then, when we engage our being and our filter, it becomes peaceable, loving, willing to yield, full of good fruits. And so that's the thing about it, is with our mouth, we have to apply whatever the word says regarding the use of this thing applies to every time we use it. Okay. So let's keep going. So I'm going to pick up again right here. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only, I like it, there isn't, well, sometimes, only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Proverbs 21:23, watch your words and be careful what you say, and you'll be surprised how few troubles you have.
Amen.
That's a good verse.
Yeah.
Amen. That one could be posted on all of our walls, yeah, or our fridges. Or
well, yeah.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah. Yeah, this isn't a scriptural principle, but this is something I learned over the years. I trained for a lot of years in martial arts, and there was a saying one of the old monks said many years ago, and it kind of applies. He said, I would rather be quiet and let people fear me and be wary of me than open my mouth and let them belittle me.
Okay.
I know that doesn't apply totally because we are to open our mouth, but the thing is what he's saying, be careful what comes out of your mouth, because once you start talking and you just go all these rabbit trails, people are like, man, there's some issues in there. All right, we'll keep going. Maybe that was not the best rabbit trail. Sorry, Cheryl. But like Cheryl said, I have the mic now. Amen. All right, so here we go. In Proverbs 18:21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Creative power is released when you speak. And those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequence of their word. I like those who love it. Well, I've taught on this before here, I believe, a year or more ago. But just to touch this, it says those who love it, those who understand the creative power that's being released, will indulge it. In other words, they'll make the most of it. And they will eat the fruit, because when we engage this, we're planting seed. Every time we start speaking, we're planting seed. And every time we plant seed, we're going to have a harvest. And the harvest is later and greater than what we planted. You plant one kernel of corn, what are you going to get? You're going to get one kernel back when that big stalk grows?
No,
you're going to get a whole lot of kernels. That's kingdom economy. You call that kingdom economy.
Yeah.
Sowing and reaping, planting and harvesting.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about right here. Mm-hmm. Whenever we release that creative power, we set into motion a crop and a harvest. And you're going to bear the consequences. That's the harvest. Bear the consequences. That's harvest season.
Yeah.
So if you're blessed, you were good, you were kind, you were loving, you were gentle, you were praying the right stuff, you're doing your best to love people.
Yeah.
Guess what? When that harvest comes in, it's going to be sweet.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the content of our prayers. Because all of us want a good harvest.
Yeah.
We're praying the best for them, but guess what? We want the best for us too, don't we?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's neat. It always works both ways.
Right.
When you do things according to God's way and bless people and speak that life, guess what? You're going to receive that life. You're going to receive that blessing. This is fun. Okay, so I know I say that every week. I can't even stand up here and teach this without experiencing the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what's fun for me. It isn't the fact that I'm up here with a mic. No, God called me to do this. The fun part is I know that life is happening. Life is being transferred between Jesus and you. And life is being transferred to me too. So in Proverbs 10:11, the first part, it says, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, and his words of wisdom are a source of blessing. Talking about content. So I have a question for you. This is a question that really helps bring content into focus. Okay, here we go. What would you like somebody to pray over you? Ask yourself, what would you like the content of their prayer to look like if they were praying for you and you're going to receive every piece of it, every part of that prayer?
Yeah.
What you want that to look like? You want to pray in some nice stuff, don't you?
Yeah.
Amen. For me, I want to pray in blessing, strength, health, favor, wisdom, mercy, provision. Man, I want to get a hold of Jesus for me. Man, God bless him. God help him. Don't you want the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do.
Amen.
But that's a good kind of a good check, I guess, for us, is am I praying what I would want somebody else praying over me? Sobering, but it is helpful.
Yeah.
It is helpful. What about this? Would you want somebody praying over you? God, make them miserable.
Oh.
Until they get it right.
No.
Oh. So you don't want nobody praying that over you?
Nope.
Me neither. Put fire under them, Lord, until they change. No, I trusted Jesus, so there'd never be any fire under me. So there's no point praying that for me.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, fire don't make people change. No. The goodness of the Lord leads people to change. The kindness, the grace, the mercy, the compassion. That's what leads people to change.
Amen. Yes.
Hmm. How about this one? God, give them no peace until they make things right with me.
Ouch. That's good.
I'm laughing. You know, I'm sharing these things, but believe it or not, I've heard prayers like this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Amen. God, I beg you to make them apologize to me. We're laughing because we're like, uh-huh. But is there a little bit of difference between blessing, kindness, health, favor, love, provision, just love all over them, and God bring them to their knees. God just make them miserable. Yeah. God do this to them. You see, there's a difference.
Mm, that's good. Preach it.
God has never treated any one of us like that. He's never been mean to us. He's never held back from us. Not one time has our Lord been mean to us like that.
Amen.
And not one time has He interceded and asked Father like that for you. It's almost hard. It breaks my heart. When I think about Jesus, I'm like, man, Jesus, that's not my Lord. Now my Lord's like, oh, Father. Father, look at him. I love him so much. I gave everything for them. Please come through for them right now, Father. Father, look where they're at. Meet them right there. Oh, show yourself strong. That's how He's praying for you and me. That's how He's praying for us today. Right now, He's up there saying, oh, I love them. Oh, I love them, Father. Oh, my heart just yearns for them. Can't wait till they're here with me. But until then, Father, come through for them.
Yes, yes.
That's prayer. That's prayer. That's prayer that not only blesses the person you prayed for, that's prayer that blesses you.
Yeah.
I feel some alignment in here. I normally don't say, but I feel some alignment.
Because
the reason I'm sharing this is because me and Cheryl have been part of being prayed for, not here, okay, but in the past, we've been part of groups that actually prayed for people like that. I mean, a prayer meeting was more or less a Ginsu Swiss cheese session.
Yeah.
It was like, all right, let's get out the sharp knives now. Let's go. Okay. We got them. Seriously. I'm not kidding when I say that. And I remember my brother was telling me there was a group that he was connected with at some point. And he said, "Oh, I was at church, and I shared something with Sister So and So, and she said, yeah, I'm going to pray about that." and he said, I knew exactly what that meant because I'd seen her pray about things before, and I knew that it was gonna get nasty. That's not prayer, church. No, I'm having fun with you and joking, but this is real. This is truth. This is truth. He tells a lot of emotion attached to this because all this is real, man. I mean, I've walked through this. I've had people do this to me.
Yeah.
You know, early on, I thought it was okay to pray some of this junk, you know.
Yeah.
Until one day the Lord said, hey, that's cursing.
Yeah.
That's not blessing, that's cursing. You're using the creative power I gave you in the wrong way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay, Lord. Yeah, we will stop that now. Amen. But, you know, it's kind of normal. Look around in society. It's pretty normal to be like that, isn't it? It's pretty normal to see people, you know, try to talk bad about each other and just get rude and nasty. I mean, that's normal. That's just everyday life.
Yeah.
But church, that ain't us. That ain't us.
Amen.
That ain't the way we do it. Amen. So I want to say something here. I want you to read this. Something I wrote here. When we pray for someone, think about what we would like people to pray for us. Also think about the harvest that our words will bring back into our own lives. Do we really want those things we pray for them to come back into our life as a huge harvest? So now we're going to get into the other two types of prayer. The first was the content.
Yeah.
We just looked at content. Okay. So the next part is we're going to talk about two other things. And this comes out of actually 1 Timothy 2:1. There are other places these are talked about, but this just kind of gives us a place to start. Says, this is Paul writing to Timothy. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. So what we're going to look at today, we're going to look at two things. We're going to look at supplications and intercessions. Because I feel like we kind of get prayers. You know, we kind of know prayer is, you know, we talked about it. It's sharing our wishes and desires with God and Him sharing His with us. So it's an exchange. Prayer is an exchange. We understand Thanksgiving. That's pretty simple. Be thankful for what He's done and for what you got and where you're at. Like Priscilla was saying, she's grateful. And I will tell you, being thankful is amazing. So we understand those. But supplication and intercession can get a little foggy. I mean, I don't know about you, but they can get a little foggy. It's like, okay, well, I know there's some intensity there and there's some stuff going on, but really, what is the difference between the two? And there is a difference. There are a lot of similarities, however. There are tremendous similarities between the two. However, there are a few distinct differences, so we're going to get into that. So supplication, here's just a, this is actually from the Greek meaning of the roots of this word and this word. Supplication is praying for a specific felt need, a heartfelt petition arising out of deep personal need, a sense of lack, want, and as you need it, you need it, you desperately need it. That's just a basic definition of supplication. Intercession means to stand between. Intervention. Intersection, which literally hits the mark. There's a specific nature to intercession. It's not random, it's specific. Okay? Intervention led by God. You don't just choose. Real intercession is not your choice. Real intercession is God's assignment.
That's good.
Okay. So marking the intersection between heaven and earth as it reflects the Lord's specific will.
So I have an example of intercession. One morning I was having my devotions. It was just really good me and Jesus time. I had a little prayer list. I was getting with it. It was good. Feeling the Lord's presence. And then out of nowhere, I'm praying, and my pastor comes to mind. And I mean, I prayed for him, you know, like you're supposed to. But I'm like, huh, that's not on my list right now. So I kept on praying, and then about, you know, I pray another minute, and then bam, he comes to mind again. And I keep on praying, and bam, he comes to mind again. I'm like, well, Lord Jesus, I think he must want me to be interceding for him right now. So I said, I'm going there. And I just started praying for him. I'm like, okay, I'm praying for you. Next thing you know, I'm praying for his wife. Next thing you know, I'm praying for his kids. 10 minutes later, I'm bawling on the floor. Tears are everywhere. I'm just crying out. And I mean, that had never really happened to me. I mean, it happened to me, but it had been a while. And it was intense. And it didn't stop. And it went on like for like an hour. I mean, geez, I never pray that long. And, I mean, you know, it was like pretty intense. And so, and then as I'm praying, I felt like the Lord wanted me to share some encouragement with him. And that was a real kind of pushing me a little further out of my comfort zone. And so the next day, Dana and I go up to him, and I'm like, Dana, go with me. I don't want to fly solo here. I'm going to go, like, you know, share a word with the pastor. This is awkward. You know, so I did. I just went up, and I said, I just, you know, I love you guys. Pray for you. Just feeling like the Lord wants you to know that you're, you know, God's really happy with you, and you're really good parents. And, you know, it was just, it was amazing. I had no idea what was going on in their lives. But it was probably 2 or 3 months later, I found out that they, at that particular moment that I was praying for them, they were going through a very difficult time. And it was something that was kind of private, and I mean, none of my business, and I had no idea, but I did find out later that they were going through a really difficult time in their life. And that little bit of words of encouragement that was on my heart to share the next day, and it was just a very simple, you know, God's happy with you. But like, that meant a lot. But it was an assignment from the Lord, yeah. So much so that God interrupted my prayer repeatedly and said, pray for that person. Yeah. And it was intense. And, you know, grateful God does that, you know, when we listen and just follow his promptings in prayer.
Amen. That's good. That's good. That brings up a good point. Do you know it's okay for Jesus to interrupt your prayer? We laugh, but, you know, it's like, you know, it's okay. I mean, he should be able to, you know, that's the exchange part. You know, in his exchange, he may want to exchange something that we're not thinking about at the moment. But really, some of the difference between supplication and intercession is more focused. It is generally more intense because it is a God-given assignment. It's a burden. We're going to talk more about that in a minute. It is a God-given burden. But once again, true intercession is initiated by God, led by God, and will continue until God releases you from that assignment. That's true intercession. So we're going to look at intercession in a minute, but I want to start with supplication because it's first in the scripture, so we got to start here. So as we look at an example of Daniel, you know, Daniel was an amazing, amazing man of God. I mean, just tender and genuine and pure, amazing heart. So keep that in mind because, you know, we're going to read something out of Daniel in a second. But in Ezekiel chapter 14, God is speaking to Ezekiel of Israel's coming judgment. Okay, so he's pronounced judgment. It's coming on Israel. It's going to happen. But as the Lord is speaking with Ezekiel, he makes a statement about Daniel. And I want us to see that before I get into Daniel's supplication. All right. So the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and he says, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, were in Israel, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the sovereign Lord. And then the Lord says the same thing in verse 16, verse 18, and verse 20. So even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were there, they couldn't save anybody else because they are so righteous that they would be spared, but nobody else. Right? So the Lord speaks of Daniel's righteousness here. Now, let's keep that in mind as we read. We've got, this is quite a portion of Scripture. I'm not going to teach through all of it, but I just want you to see Daniel's heart, and I'm going to touch on a few things that Daniel does in his supplication. Okay, here we go. A lot of Scripture. I told you. and we have another slide like this, so don't be surprised. But we're going to read this because, once again, pay attention to Daniel's heart. And remember, Daniel was righteous before the Lord. Daniel was not to be blamed for Israel's sin. Okay? But look at how Daniel responds here. It says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the Scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him. Here's supplication. I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. Daniel hadn't done anything wrong. You get it?
Yeah.
Okay. But Daniel's taking personal responsibility for the outcome. Mm-hmm. That is an element of supplication. It's also an element of intercession. You take personal responsibility for the person or the people group. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's keep going. It says in verse 4, right here. It says, I pray to the Lord my God and confess, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned. You see that? We have, not they have. Okay. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. Daniel hadn't rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets. Daniel had. Who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. See, Daniel's not softening this. You get it? He's saying all of us are in it. All of us are responsible. When Daniel was not. But the thing is to really supplicate and pray and really get a hold of Jesus on something, you got to be all in. You got to be all in. Daniel was all in. All right. So verse 7 says, Lord, you are righteous, but this day we are covered with shame. The people of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, and all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you. We and our kings, our princes and our ancestors are covered with shame. He's not just taking responsibility for the now issue. He's saying our ancestors, my grandfather, my great, all our ancestors. I take this seriously, Lord. I take responsibility for even their flaws and their faults, God. How often do we do that? I'm just posing the question. How often do we, whenever we're praying, take personal responsibility to get a hold of God for whatever that is and whoever that is? Okay. All right, verse 9. It says, the Lord our God is merciful and forgiving. Even though we've rebelled against him, we have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. One more, we're just going to keep reading. This is the rest of that portion of Scripture. You have fulfilled the words spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing on us great disaster. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come on us. Yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord, our God, by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster on us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does. See, he's taking responsibility. He's also speaking to God's character. You're righteous. You're merciful. You're forgiving. So in verse 15, it says, now Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day. Look at Daniel. He's wise. He's wise in this. We have sinned and we have done wrong. Lord, in keeping with all your righteous act, in keeping with your nature and your character, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our ancestors have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord. You see that? For your sake, Lord. Yes, we've blown it. Yes, we were messed up. Yes, we deserve it. But you're merciful. You're kind. You're wonderful. You're forgiving. You're amazing.
Yes.
And by the way, dear Lord, this is about your name.
Come on.
This is about your name, Jesus.
Amen.
You have to take ownership and get in that spot and take it seriously and take responsibility and realize that the outcome is about the name of Jesus.
Yes.
It isn't about our comfort or about what we think. It's about Jesus at the end of the day. It's about Jesus at the end of that prayer. It's about Jesus at the end of that supplication.
Yes.
It's also about Jesus at the end of that intercession.
Yes.
And I'm going to tell you, Jesus will guard his name. He will guard his name. And so that's a big deal. I love that Daniel, amazingly wise young man here. Okay. So, let's see where we were here. I lost my spot, but that's okay.
18,
thank you. Okay. It says, give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make request of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. You know, that's why we pray. We don't pray because of our righteousness.
Yes.
We pray because of his mercy,
yes.
Church.
Amen.
We pray because of who he is, not because of where we've blown it. Thank you, Lord. In verse 19, he says, Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act for your sake, my God. Do not delay because your city and your people bear your name. Daniel cared about the people, but guess what? He could not let the Lord's name be made light and be belittled.
Yes.
And that's what supplication and intercession is really about. At the end of the whole interaction, at the end of it, it's about the Lord being glorified in us and through us.
Yes.
That was a lot of scripture, but look at Daniel's heart.
Yeah.
Look at Daniel's heart. And Daniel, he kneeled three times a day and prayed every single day, even after the king passed this bill that he was going to be, that anybody who did that was going to be punished because of some deceptive cabinet members. It says Daniel had his window open towards Jerusalem,
right,
where everybody could see him on the street.
Yeah.
And it says he knelt right there in his window three times a day.
Come on. Yes.
He said he wasn't afraid of the edict passed by the king.
Right.
And remember, him and his friends, they wouldn't eat the delicacies from the king's table.
That's right.
They said, no. Just give us vegetables. We're honoring Jesus in this.
Yes.
And watch what he does. We'll look better than them.
Yes.
They can eat all the meat and whatever they want to. We'll look healthier and better. You know why? Because man does not live by bread alone.
That's right. That's right.
We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And they were living on the Lord at that point, not delicacies.
Yes. Mm.
Okay, so in closing on supplication, just another minute. Supplication is a heartfelt, passionate, intense, emotional pressing into the Lord's presence because you have a serious need or somebody else has a serious need. And I mean, and you're taking responsibility. You're not just saying, Lord, I hope you help them. Lord, I hope you come through. You're getting right in the middle and saying,
yes.
Jesus. Lest you come through, I die.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You remember in the Bible whenever the people of Israel once again came up against Moses and Aaron?
Mm-hmm.
And God said, hey, you two back away and I'm going to wipe them out and we'll start over.
Mm-hmm.
And Moses said, they're your people, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
They're called by your name. And how about this? I know you love me, so if you blot them out, if you wipe them out, you wipe me out too.
Yeah.
Remember Moses?
Yeah.
The most humble man on the earth, God said, at that time. But Moses took ownership. He took responsibility. He said, hey, if you're gonna punish them, punish me. Daniel's saying the same thing here. Hey, listen, Lord, if you're going to, I know this is really tough, but I'm taking responsibility here. God loves that, church. He loves that. All right, so let's move into intercession now. Intercession is a God-given heart burden for an individual or people group. The real difference of intercession and supplication, you can supplicate for yourself. When you're in a tough spot, you can beg and plead and cry and get a hold of Jesus for you. And you can do it with other people. Intercession is always for somebody else. It's always for somebody or another people group. It's not for you. Intercession is not for you. You don't intercede for yourself. Okay? So that's one of the main differences. Some of the other aspects look the same. But and when we embrace that God-given burden, there's one distinct thing about intercession. When we embrace it, the first thing the burden does is reposition us strategically between God and the person or persons we have the burden for. There's a movement. When you get the assignment and the burden, guess what? There's a repositioning. All of a sudden, you're no longer over here looking at God and looking at Him. You're in between. You get right in the middle and say, I'm right here, God, and they're right behind me.
Yeah.
See, there's a repositioning. That's intercession. You're getting in between the Lord and the person or the people group, and you're taking responsibility, and you're pleading with God. And like Cheryl said, it costs. I'm telling you, intercession has a cost. I mean, true intercession, I mean, man, you'll feel like your soul's being torn out sometimes. It's not recreational. This isn't a casual prayer. Real intercession is not casual. Now, you can have light intercession mingled in with your prayers. When you pray for the salvation of a family member that's not a Christian, you know that's God's will, so you are lightly interceding, so to speak.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about that assigned burden that more or less grips your soul and pulls you into this new spot, and God says, okay, intercede. Represent them before me. So, got a really great set of portion of scripture here that talks about intercession. I love this. This right here to me is probably my favorite portion of scripture on intercession. It's Ezekiel 22:29-31. The Lord says, "The people of the land practice extortion and commit robbery. They oppress the poor and needy and mistreat the foreigner, denying them justice." Here you go. I looked for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. God was looking for an intercessor. It says, but I found no one. Isn't that sad? He found no one. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their heads all they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. He didn't find anybody to intercede, so what he's doing is he is going to judge and punish them because there was nobody to stand there like Daniel. Nobody to stand there like Moses. Nobody to stand there like you. We have no idea the effect that our prayers have had on those around us. We don't have a clue. Only when we get to glory and we know really what happened and what took place,
yeah,
will we see how important and how powerful and how much effect our prayers really had. You know, praying is the most powerful thing you can do in this life. Do you know that? Because
yeah.
When you start praying, you are connecting with the omnipotent one, the all-powerful one, the only one who can do anything. And it ain't about our power, it's about our relationship, church.
Yeah.
It's our relationship that stirs Father's heart to do those things that we ask for in prayer.
Yeah.
It's relationship, it's relational. And you know, really at the end of our life, the only thing that has eternal value is relationship. Think about that. No stuff, no toys, no whatever is going to go with us into eternity. But every quality relationship moment will not end. The Lord remembers those and they've made a difference. And that's what shapes every person is those relational moments. That's what makes us who we are. And that's what's going to follow us into glory. I remember there was an amazing brother in the Lord who passed away, and I wasn't there, but when he passed away, he had a group of these other men of God and women of God with him. And when he was dying, he was a well-known prophet. I mean, amazing man of God. And when he died, one of my friends was actually there, and he said, you know, the one thing he said, right before he died, he said, the only thing that matters is relationship.
Mm.
And then he died.
Mm.
That was the last thing he spoke to those ministers and those men of God, women of God. He said, the only thing that matters is relationship. And that's what he said before he breathed his last. Man, if we can get that. If I can get it, not just you guys, me. And I'm trying to get it. God help us all to get it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about these scriptures and then we'll close out. All right, so we're going to talk about what the Lord wants in verse 30. He wanted someone to build a wall and, so two things, build a wall and stand in the gap on behalf of the land. So he wants somebody to build a wall and represent the land and stand in the gap. Intercessors are called to be wall builders and gap fillers. You with me? That's what you, if you're called to be an intercessor, you're a wall builder and a gap filler. Simply put. And the reason God called you to intercede is because there was a gap. You understand? There was a void between where he is and where they are. And he needs somebody to get in there and fill that gap so it ain't there no more. And the way we do that, well, the way we fill the gap is by building a wall. We build a wall. So we fill the gap with a wall. Yeah. Okay, so let's look at this. So I wrote something down here, dude. Just an intercessor's prayers are the bricks that one by one build the wall that God must look through before he sees the person or persons that we're interceding for. Each brick is God-led and God-placed through our prayers. Each brick has special things written on. Things about the person, including their destiny, their calling, prophetic words, or other important things you need to them. Those are the bricks that we build with. The bricks also speak of God's kindness, his righteousness, his love, his grace, his favor, his forgiveness, his long-suffering, and his generosity. Those are the bricks that build the wall that fills the gap. And whenever Jesus looks, when he looks at them, guess what? He don't see a gap anymore. What he sees a wall with faithfulness, love. Oh, they're called to do this. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, they're gifted in this. Lord, you promised this. Lord, you're faithful. Honor your name, Jesus. All, he has to look through all of that before he sees them and there's no more gap. That eliminates the gap. So once again, if God calls you to intercede, he's repositioning you into the gap so you can build a wall. And then the wall will filter everything that Father sees when he looks at him because of your faithfulness in prayer. These are my favorite intercession. They just do such a good picture of it. Let's touch one other thing here. This is one other image of an intercessor, and this is where we're going to close out with right through here. Okay? Here we go. I know I've got a lot of verses today, but hang with me, church. Hang with me. I don't want you going home and say, well, we didn't have no word today. By the grace of God, I don't want you to be word deficient, church. There ain't no supplement or no healing oil or no whatever you call it oil that's going to take the place of that other than the oil of the Holy Ghost and the Word.
Right.
But let's read this because we're going to read it. Once again, I'm not going to do a lot of teaching, but right at the end here, we're going to tie in on something. This is Numbers 16, 42 through 49. And this, once again, is a congregation rising up against Moses and Aaron. It says, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and Aaron, they looked at the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and they saw the Lord's glory. And Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting. And the Lord said to Moses, get away from among this congregation. Excuse me. That I may consume them in a moment. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces. And Moses said to Aaron, take a censer and put fire in it from off the altar and lay incense on it. And carry it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. So Aaron took the burning censer as Moses commanded, ran into the midst of the congregation, right in the middle. He was repositioned, like I'm talking about.
Okay.
Aaron interceded. He got in the middle of it. And behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put incense in the middle of the group. He was interceding. He put incense on it and made atonement for the people. He covered their sins and appeased God, is what he did. It says in 48, listen, and he stood between the dead and the living.
Yeah.
That's how important intercession is.
Yes.
He stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. It was stopped. Now, those who died of the plague were 14,700 people. I'm going to tell you something. Intercession is so important that very often you've been positioned in a spot between death and life. You with me? That's how big of a deal it is. So let's talk. Let's break this down just a little more as we close. So Moses told Aaron to go into the middle. Aaron was the high priest.
Right.
So the high priest went into the middle and burned incense and made atonement to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests. Guess what? Guess who the priests are now?
Yeah.
You are. That's why, just like God through Moses gave Aaron an assignment, gave the priest an assignment to get in the middle and burn incense, God gives you an assignment when he tells you to intercede to get in the middle and burn incense.
Yes.
You may think, well, wait a minute, burn incense. Okay. Here we go. Let's read this one more time. And he's made us kings and priests to God, to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So we're the kings and priests on this earth now. And what about the incense? What does that represent? Here we go. This is so neat. When you tie the old and the new together, it's beautiful. Let's look at what the incense is. And when he had taken the scroll, this is when Jesus had received the scroll, and this is in heaven, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of fragrant incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
Yes.
Yeah. So Aaron, the high priest, got in the middle and interceded, and he burned incense, which appeased God and covered the sin and saved the people. Priest.
All right.
When God calls you to get in the middle and you burn incense, what is that? That's your prayers.
Yeah.
Your prayers are that incense that appeases God and covers the issues. Amen. 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 You guys get into the Old Testament, enjoy. There's some stuff there, man. It's great. The old and the new both have value. Every word of God is good. So enjoy both of them.
Yes.
But it's just really good when we can see that. We see all these pictures and we're like, oh, that's interesting. Very often there's an Old Testament picture and a New Testament application of the same thing. So once again, intercession is an official priestly duty given by God. Man, to stand between, to get in between God and the person or persons and pray for life. Get a hold of God for them. In closing, I want to say this again. I've already said it. Please understand, church, prayer is the most powerful thing we have. Use it. Use it. If God gives you an assignment to intercede for somebody, you get in there, you take responsibility, you get in there and you get a hold of Jesus, you pray, you start building with them. You start building with bricks as fast as you can.
Yes.
Lord, what should I put here? Okay.
Yes.
Lord, how about this?
Yes.
Well, I need to add this, God. You're just great.
Yes.
Lord, you don't even have to tell me about that. I love you. You know, you build what you know about Him, and you build what He's leading you to do and say about them, and what you know about them and the prophecies. You build with all of that.
Yes.
And that wall will be fabulous. You'll fill the gap.
Yes.
He'll look at them, and guess what? The Lord's countenance and the way He interacts with them will change because of your intercession.
Yes.
It'll make a difference.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word.
Thank you, Lord.
God, hallelujah. Lord, thank you that, Lord, you've given us clear scriptural guidelines for the content of how we pray. Lord, because you want us blessed and you want people blessed. Thank you that you're in it for all of our good. And Lord, thank you that, Lord, we can supplicate or we can just really petition, get a hold of you, God. And also thank you for, those moments, Lord, when you trust us in intercession. God, we thank you so much for this time, Lord. We love you and we love your word, God. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.